We can use that, yes, huh? Okay, we're going to convene and begin our afternoon's business. First on the agenda is our customary general public comment period, for which we have several folks signed in, it looks like. One person signed in. And that would be Pete Heidi. So we'll take 3 minutes from Pete, and we're up.
Thank you again, Aaron, Chair of the Board and the Board members. I just wanted to, you heard a very excellent report from Charlene and Carol on the HCP, and I just wanted to reiterate the, start out by reiterating the importance of that HCP to the forest industry. It's a very important part of the assurances that we have to be able to continue to operate, and it really helps our members, and it maintains investment in forestry. There's a couple of things, though, that were said that I think, and I'm not going to debate or try to clarify things. I just wanted to let the board know there are some things that we should take more careful examination on your part. One of them was around the roads issue, and there was an issue that they talked about roads, new construction of roads. And I can't remember exactly what the percentage, it wasn't a bad percentage of compliance, but I just want to let you know that if a road is built on a ridgetop, which is a BMP, put your road up on the ridgetop where it's not going to affect the waters, those roads were taken out of the analysis. So the compliance was quite a bit better than what it might have been reported in the compliance monitoring report. Just a little detail there. Another one around the fish stream water typing. Be very careful about interpreting that data because in many cases in the past, and I know it's improving with the compliance monitoring folks, that they do not necessarily have all of the paperwork in their hands when they're looking at a stream. And water typing can be done in two ways. You can either demonstrate fish use, in other words, go out and do a protocol survey and determine where the fish are, and then make a call on where you're going to locate that fish water designation. Or you can follow if you don't do a protocol survey, you're required by the rule to follow the default. And so when the compliance monitoring people go out there, if they don't have the information in their hand about the fact that there was a survey done and that water typing was done according to the rule, they may just look at it and say, well, this doesn't meet the default standard, so therefore it likely is not in compliance. So you have to be careful about how that information is interpreted. Third thing is that you've heard a lot of percentages on some issues where there is not adequate, apparently not adequate compliance. Remember that some of those samples are very small. The overall sample is large enough to produce a statistically valid number with a reasonable error range. But when you get down to 5, 6, 8, 10 samples, the error on that analysis is sometimes huge. Can be 25% either side of the number that's reported. So there again, I think it's important that when you hear those kind of things, that you take a little time to look deeper into it, maybe ask a few more questions. And not that there was anything wrong. I mean, the report was fine. They did a great job, but they couldn't possibly have the time to go through all that detail with you, and it is important. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete. We now have public comment on adaptive management, on forest fish policy work priorities. We have three folks signed up for comment, beginning with Peter Goldman.
I'm going to withdraw, and Mary will be covering that.
Thank you, Peter. Mary?
Afternoon. My name is Mary Skurlock. I am the Conservation Caucus representative to the Forest and Fish Policy Committee. I just want to touch on two things that are in front of the committee today. One is the water typing, which is in dispute resolution, which is being addressed, and the type end strategy. As you know, whether a stream is typed fish-bearing or non-fish-bearing is critically important to the level of protection provided under the Forest Practices Rules and HCP. Recognizing that fundamental differences exist between caucuses with regard to the need for and content of a permanent water typing rule, the Conservation Caucus initiated formal dispute resolution in January. By setting further discussions around stream typing in the time-constrained dispute resolution context, we believe policy is now positioned to more efficiently engage and the focused discussions necessary for policy development. We're extremely encouraged to report that policy is now poised to work systematically through Type F issues, culminating in a series of facilitated meetings between mid-May and the end of June, which will either produce agreement around a charter for moving forward or send these issues to mediation and then to the board. We appreciated the efforts of everyone at policy, especially policy co-chairs Miller and Bernat, and our new facilitator, Bob Wheeler, in fostering constructive solutions. I provided you today with a two-page summary of the caucus's perspective on these issues for your information. On the Type N strategy, we're also, and you'll be hearing later more about this, the policy committee is on track to approve a strategy that will belatedly meet the intent of a key Clean Water Act milestone. Part of the strategy involves taking steps toward adoption of board manual guidance to specify how landowners may identify the uppermost points of perennial flow in all weather conditions. The identification of this point is necessary in order to determine the extent of riparian protection that must be provided on streams that do not bear fish, and is subject to board direction for, I think, about 6 years now. In order to reach agreement on this strategy, it was necessary for us to craft an approach to addressing concerns raised by landowners about wet season aspects of the proposed guidance. This approach may result in considerable additional analysis of forest practices applications by a technical group. The Conservation Caucus continues to have serious reservations about this further analysis, given the high caliber of the data already in hand, and which we believe represents best available science and a sound and rational basis for policy development. However, because all parties were willing to include a hard timeline for presentation of board manual language to the board and include other conditions on this additional analysis, we were able to successfully reach consensus and move forward on the strategy. And the intent is for board manual guidance to be in front of this board, I believe, by February of 2014 at the very latest, and as you heard from Mark earlier, possibly earlier in November. So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mary. Pete Heide, will you be joining us again?
I don't believe so. Thank you.
Okay. This time, then, I'd like to call up policy co-chair to review for us a memo we received a couple days before the meeting.
Good afternoon. I'm Stephen Bernath with the Department of Ecology, co-chair of Forest and Fish Policy. And I'll lead off. And this memo that you have in front of you, the front page has not changed from when we gave it to you in August. And it just reiterates what we told you then, is that we are working on completing the Type N strategies. We have work that is coming our way regarding the integration of HPAs into FPAs. We have just, as you heard said earlier, completed getting all six caucuses into agreement on what was proposed in the settlement agreement, and you just voted to move forward with that with the CR101. And then, as you just heard from Mary, we've got the Type F issue, and then we've got our regular CEMA work. And we should have a postmortem study coming to us in March. Sometime later in the year, we should have an east side full trap study coming to us. And in May, in April, we do our traditional review and prioritization of the CEMA projects for the next year or two, and we'll bring in that hopefully with a consensus agreement to you for your May meeting so you can buy on the budget. So I'm not sure what to say much more. One thing for sure, I want to thank the board for moving ahead on hiring an additional senior staff person. I think that goes a long way towards dealing with the big bump in work we have facing us as a result of the settlement agreement. Mary sort of already gave our report, so I'm not going to say much more other than we did reach consensus on Type N strategy. We do have some work to do on the board manual. We have agreement on how to find that point on the ground during the dry season, and the main issue is if a landowner has to ask for an FPA during a season when it's not optimal to find that upper point of granite flow, then the question is the seamer, can the seamer data that we already have in hand be supplemented by some of the field work that's been done over the last 10 years to help us ground truth that information? And I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. For the record, I'm Adrian Miller with Longview Timber, in this capacity serving as co-chair of Forest and Fish Policy. I agree, Mary provided a far more coherent summary of events than you'd get from either of us, so I'm not going to belabor that. There was just a couple of points I'd like to address on Type F, in particular for some of the newer board members as they're getting up to speed. You know, in 2011, the board directed policy's priorities towards to be focused on primarily on Type N, but also on Type F. And so despite us being in dispute resolution, which I don't characterize necessarily as a bad thing on Type F, over the course of 2012, we did work on the issue. I kind of put it into two bins. We looked at some educational outreach concepts, and that's both for the participating caucuses to kind of understand what is and what isn't being done and get a little bit of ground truth on that. And then also public outreach to both large and small landowners. I know the department's done quite a bit of work in terms of reformulating guidance, updating the website. We in no way expected this to resolve the issues around Type F water typing, but I think it's good work and worth being recognized. Additionally, there was a fairly extensive process in evaluating what had generally been as implementation issues, recognizing we didn't have a lot of time to devote to this while we were focusing on Type N. We thought we'd focus on things that might be less controversial and where there'd be ability to come to agreement on. I was wrong. But suffice it to say, out of that process, there came, I think, a distillation of many of the outstanding policy differences of opinion that I think will help us in this charter development process. So just while there was perhaps not a lot of outward progress made, I think that the time spent on those issues will pay some dividends in the upcoming process.
Thank you both. So I want to have a little discussion about this, and the reason that this is on the agenda is sort of goes back to my opening remarks. And I feel that we, as a body, owe it to policy to check in on how things are going, what the progress is, make that a regular and meaningful check-in, and where we see the need for there to be an adjustment in priorities or a narrowing of priorities or an expansion of priorities to do that in a proactive way. In this particular case, it also sort of connects to some of the changes to the board work plan that we discussed in the staff reports earlier today. And I'm very grateful for the co-chair's work and for the policy members' work to arrive at a successful resolution on or path forward on Type F and Type N. Those are among the priorities. And it struck me though that this body received a 5-bullet point work plan as has been pointed out at the August meeting, and we just sort of said, yeah, okay. And I think we need to have a little more formality about it. I think we need to consider the limited time and resources that everybody's dedicating to policy, to deliberate on that and to affirm or change what's on the dock. I also took the time to observe some of the dynamic at earlier meetings, and as many of you already know and we've already mentioned, we took the step of hiring a professional facilitator sort of as a follow-up to some of the process improvements that are contemplated on the settlement agreement. Comparing the dynamic from earlier in the year to what I saw at last month's meeting, I think the facilitation process is showing a big success and a very significant change in the way folks are interacting with one another and their ability to focus on the task. There's too much acumen and expertise and intelligence and passion and drive and energy sitting around that table among the collective participants for it not to get focused in on, you know, sorting through what are some very difficult issues to reach consensus on. But when it's directed at other things than making the decision or attempting to reach a process that leads to a decision, that wasn't going to work. So I feel like we turned a corner on that. I feel like we owe it among around the table to show a basic level of respect for one another, to follow the ground rules, to dedicate ourselves, rededicate ourselves to achieving what we need to achieve out of that process. And that means that, you know, if you have everything be the number one priority, then the effect of that is that nothing is the number one priority. So that's the reason for us to need to have this conversation here today. With that, I want to ask if there are any questions from the board members or the co-chairs, and then I'd like to have a formal action on the work plan priorities as they're presented to us here today. At the same time, updating the board work plan to reflect the discussion we had earlier. Any questions at this time? Tom?
You brought up the facilitator, and that was something I had forgotten to ask about because it had been contemplated. I'm glad to hear that you think that's helping. I want to hear a little bit more from you guys about how that is and how long do we have the facilitator for? I mean, is this going to be a standard tool that we get to use as this goes forward?
Okay, so on the facilitation, yes, it's definitely helping. It helps us as co-chairs to actually co-chair the meeting and not also being facilitating and note-taking and doing all those tasks at the same time. So we actually can be thinking of solutions while they're directing the meeting, if you will, to some degree, making sure everybody gets heard and note-taking takes place. Their initial contract is for 5 meetings. We've had them for 2. I believe.
Three.
No.
Signal in the back.
Oh, okay. And
you've been built up for 3.
Yeah. And we are, they're going to, because we still have money in the pot, and there was a request that the Type F get some facilitation during phase one of dispute resolution. There's going to be an additional work order for them to work with us on getting us till June 30th, which is our target date to have a charter for Type F, and see if we can get agreement around the objectives and what the Type F issue is all about.
That's good to hear.
So I'll just add briefly that in my personal opinion, the facilitation is the reason you don't have a rule petition on Type F in front of you today. Secondly, just a minor point of clarification, because policy does everything by consensus, it will be the co-chair's recommendation that we continue with facilitation both for the ongoing policy meetings as well as the Type F dispute resolution.
Paul?
So based on Aaron's remarks, I would like to ask you guys and then also any other policy members that are in the audience to say if you feel like at this point in time you need additional direction from the board on priorities, or do you feel like it's, you know, lined out pretty well? I mean, I'm always happy to hear when someone from the Conservation Caucus gets up and says we're happy with progress and that there's nobody else coming up to the front being grumpy. I mean, that's great. But you know, I think Aaron's remarks seriously that the you know board should have serious and substantive check-ins. So I'm taking the opportunity to ask you: do you feel like you need additional direction, or do you think things are good for the moment?
Well, I can take the first hit at that. I think. I think you know today, literally today, I think we're okay. There will be changes guaranteed in terms of information as it comes out. And my experience in the past with policy, not to be dismissive of any particular issue, but the next bright shiny object comes along, tends to gravitate people's attention. And so if these are indeed the priorities that the board would like to see completed during the calendar year of 2013, I think we're all in agreement that can be accomplished affirming that fact would be valuable to help us manage our time. I'd point out that we don't live in a static world, and if we decide we want to change our priorities, this board exists. We can come back and talk about that as well. So there's flexibility here. But I think right now, overall, we're in a good place moving forward. But I think endorsement by this board would be helpful.
Other questions for the co-chairs?
A question for you.
Okay.
Did you just tell us that the work plan does reflect the priorities that are here, and so if the board approves the work plan, that's the endorsement of these priorities?
Yes, we could choose to be more specific as well, and I think we should choose to be more specific. I think we've got the work plan items that lay out the rule activities and board manual activities of this board, with which we'll need policy recommendations to proceed at one policy recommendations of one kind or another to proceed on. And so that's one level. And I'd also like us to take the five priorities that are listed in the front part of the memo and address those. And I'd also like to point out that if you compare those two, looking at the board work plan and the policy priorities, we've got two of those the policy really needs to hammer down on between now and the May board meeting if we're going to be able to stay on schedule with hydraulic projects and forest practices integration, and then and also settlement agreement related rulemakings that we just initiated today. So that means those two items plus the budget plus receiving at least recommendations from the Type N subgroup, and that gets to be a really full roster between now and the May board meeting. So, and we've got to have focus on that between now and then if we're going to stay on track. And specifically those two being, the first being a legislatively prescribed and mandated priority, and the second being a legally or settlement agreement prescribed priority. So, I'm thinking about sort of a two-part motion that it would approve the 2013 board plan as amended, and if we want to list the specific things that are in there that are changes, we can do that. We probably should for the record. And I'd also like to direct policy to complete the work identified in this memo, reflecting the board work plan schedule to specifically to get those two key pieces done by May. And well, it appears.
That's amazing.
So it's not a convention for the chair to make a motion. As far as I can tell, there's no real reason for that. It's just convention. And so in this case, the chair's going to make a motion. And I'm going to move the Forest Practices Board approve 2013 work plan as amended, scheduling the Clean Water Act annual report in August, and changing board manual development, adding sections for amendment to complete the requirements to incorporate fish protection standards into the legislatively required forest practices, hydraulic project rulemaking, and technical guidance, and delaying the wetland delineation section for a future time. I also move to direct forest and fish policy to complete the work identified in their February 8, 2013 memo to the board. Priorities must reflect the board's work plan objectives for board manual approval and final rulemaking on adaptive management / settlement agreement and FPHP by the August board meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion?
Can you repeat the motion?
I could. I don't know if you wanted me to. So. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I call a question. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Any abstentions? Thank you very much. That concludes our business for the day, unless there's reason for us to enter executive session. Thank you all very much for joining us. As many of you travel, and thank you for spending the time. So, see you next time.